Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
Oh, yeah. And I'm J-Clone 37.
I have switched to Macho Man several times during the podcast career.
Sometimes you can't help it, though.
Once it's just like Macho Man Randy Savage.
It's infectious,
that's
too.
That's probably the only wrestler I know his full name.
Macho Man Randy Savage. Mm-hmm. It's a good name.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Hulk Hogan, but his real name's Terry.
Well, yeah. Well, Macho Man's real name isn't Macho Man.
Randy Savage.
Well, Savage ain't. Randy is.
And is that Randy Savage?
No, it's Poffo.
Oh, gosh.
Randy Poffo.
Welcome back to Wednesday's episode. Before we get into...
It's a baseball player.
This cryptid. T-shirts. Well, all kinds. By the time this comes out, the t-shirt design contest will be over, and I'm going to assume the vote will be over, too. We're pre-recorded several weeks because the babies are here. Baby's doing great, everybody. But yeah, we all got all kinds of really awesome new t-shirt designs on the website.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to be at Monster Fest. That actually is probably this weekend when this comes out. So we'll see you guys at Monster Fest. I'll be there. I'm trying to find somebody to go with me. So if you're coming, come hang out at the booth.
Come hang out with Mr. E at Monster Fest. I think Shannon LeGros is going to be there.
Probably. I imagine so. Shannon's friend of all those.
I'm missing it this year.
But come hang out at Monster Fest. Then it's the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. And then it's Squonkapalooza. And then it's Bigfoot and Brews. And then it's Mothman. And then it's our event.
Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, October 5th.
Tickets in the link below. Come see the amazing speakers. Come have a fun day. It's gonna be a ball.
Yeah.
We're in Ada, Ohio.
In Ada, Ohio. We're hosting. We're speaking. We got B. Mills. We got Joel Thomas. We got John Hickenbottom. We've got 1, 2, 3,
Jake.
4. And Jake Dressel from...
And? Well, you can go ahead and finish, Jake.
Are you going to say Brian, the MC?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Okay. Go ahead. Finish Jake's.
I'm Jake, local researcher, with accompanied me at...
Nothing, just...
Accompanied me at Encounter Quest this year. So, Jake, good friend of the show, will be speaking, having a speaking debut publicly.
Jake's very knowledgeable. Yeah, I think so. I think this is his first... As far as a speaker, yeah. He emceed with you and stuff like that at Encounter Quest, which is awesome. And then Brian Wolf, MC from Wolf Rock Radio.
So you made fun of me, and then it got you.
Yeah. Well, it's known for me. Know. The known commodity.
I know.
For the great and powerful mystery. And then obviously we're speaking as well.
Right.
Don't short us.
I did. I said us.
I don't think you did.
I was in there.
I have the playback available.
And we'll see who's right.
But yeah, so come hang out. Patreon. If you guys are interested in supporting us, the best way to do that is Patreon or the paid member space. I prefer you guys using Patreon, the paid member space I built, so it is a little clunky, but it works.
It works. You can listen to all the things you listen on Patreon on our paid space.
That's only for real. I tell people, some people really don't like Patreon, so that's what that's for. But, you know, Patreon and the paid member space links are below. Just get one or the other. Same perks, same everything. Speaking of perks, the mini cryptid figures and the custom exclusive t-shirts for Patreon just went out a couple weeks ago. So that's super exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the front of house stuff. Do you have anything to add?
Well, if you liked our figurines, you know, little clay figures, or if you always desired to have one but haven't purchased one, you just need to see it in person. If you come to Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, October 5th in Edo, Ohio, you can find...
Oh, she'll be there, yeah.
Yep, she will be there vending, selling her custom-made clay figurines, so... If you want to check one out in person, come to Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree October 5th.
All right. I got some new reviews.
Ooh.
5-star reviews. Remember, everybody, we read 5-star reviews.
Yeah. So if you haven't sent one yet, please send us a 5-star review. We'll read on the show. And I don't know. That'd be fun.
Yeah. This is from Lost in the 50s.
Ooh.
It's a Mystery is the title. These guys are a 5-star podcast professionals. My favorite podcast by far for the subjects they cover. A pleasure to listen to. Great people doing great things. Keep up the great work, guys.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
Who's that from?
Lost in the 50s.
Lost in the 50s. I like the name, too. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. This one's from Claire E1037.
Okay.
Love these guys. As a college student studying environmental sciences and microbiology, I love the way these guys connect the supernatural with science. I've always loved cryptids, and it's cool to add a new one to my internal library. Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you, Claire. Much appreciated. And that's what we do. It still kind of cracks me up every now and then, you know, when you actually see these guys are professionals.
I mean, we are.
We've been saying that since the day one of this podcast, professional podcasters here. And someone literally said it in seriousness.
Some new Patreon members, speaking Woo! Of which. And I'm sure I'm missing people. We're just now, this is like the first... day of actually recording back in the studio.
Right, yeah. If you've been with us on this journey, if you haven't been, Mr. E's been in the...
We were at Ronald McDonald House for 10 weeks, waiting on like all kinds of issues. The twins, they're great. They're here. They were amazing people. Thank you, everybody, for the prayers and support. But yeah, so that was a wild ride. So we got kind of behind on the Patreon shout-outs.
But we're back.
I'm going to do 3 right now, and then I'm going to go back through and kind of
try to
figure out
up.
Where I left off and stuff like that. But new members, Will. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will.
Josh Clark.
Josh Clark?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Josh. He's a local.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Josh. And Dingo Flamingo.
Ooh, I like...
For a dyslexic person, that is an interesting name.
That's a fun name.
Dingo Flamingo.
I think I was that for Halloween one year. Yeah. Or I think that's a wrestler, actually.
Oh, it could be. That sounds like a wrestler name.
It does. It's not, but it's... It's not one, but it does sound like
a
Dingo
Flamingo. Dingo Flamingo,
yeah.
All right.
Dingo ready? Flamingo off the top rope.
Now, you ready for today's cryptid?
Yeah.
I want you to guess what style animal it is. I will let you know you can fit him in the palm of your hand.
Oh, a little guy? A
little guy.
Is it one of them little alien things that live in your sleeves? Remember in the movie The Shining? Tony. That lived.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony was like a little alien that lived, this was a theory, that lived in... What was that little boy's name in that movie?
I haven't seen that in a long time. I thought The Shining was the one where all the trees killed everybody.
No, Shining's the one... Wait, what? Where the trees kill everybody?
Yeah.
I don't know that movie.
One of those movies, because the trees start releasing gas to kill off all the humans, and the humans are killing each other.
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
I thought it was The Shining.
I think... No, Shining's an older one with Jack Nicholson, where they go to the Bates Hotel...
Oh, that one. And I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, I think I know what you're thinking of. The Mist? It's not The Mist.
No, it's not The Mist.
But I know what you're thinking of. It's
Don't worry. Everybody, immediately, we're going to have 500 emails explaining what movie I was just talking about. It was a great movie, whatever it was.
But is that the creature you're talking about? The little one that lived in his finger?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, Tony?
No.
Oh.
No. We're going to talk about the Pacific Northwest tree octopus.
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay. Wait. Didn't we mention this in an episode in passing?
No.
I feel like we maybe have discussed this a little bit. And we did the
maybe about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's in the recesses of my mind.
I'm surprised you remembered it because you don't remember episodes we did 2 weeks ago.
Well, tree octopus, something's like, wait, that's very unique and I've heard this before. And I had to be from us.
So, yeah, we're actually going to use the website. So it's the actual Save the Tree Octopus website. But it says, help save the endangered Pacific Northwest tree octopus from extinction. So we're just going to go through the Pacific Northwest tree octopus. I'm just going to start calling the tree octopus just so you know.
Right, to save on breath.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest tree octopus, Arcturus plexibi, can be found in temperate rainforest in the Olympic Peninsula, in the west coast of North America. So, this is me talking. If anybody doesn't know, the Olympic coast or the Olympic mountain range, not a lot of people live there. Oregon's weird because not a lot of people live on this like that part of the coast.
Right.
You know why?
It's rough terrain.
Gets over 220 inches of rain a year.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, keep in mind how many inches are in 8 foot?
In what?
So 48, you know, is 4 foot.
Right.
So if you get 220 inches of rain.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's a tall.
That's a lot of rain. And then it's mountains, so it moves. The water moves fast.
That's a really big rain collector. I didn't know they made rain gauges that big.
Yeah.
Or do they have to go out there and keep dumping it out and refilling it?
Yeah, it's one of those 3-inch rain gauge.
Yeah, it's one the guy's filling it up.
Yeah. So their habitat lies on the eastern side of the mountain range, adjacent to Mount Hood. These solitary cephalopods reach average size measuring from arm tip to mantle tip, 30 to 33 centimeters, so very small, you know, hand size, really similar to the blue-ringed octopus in size.
Okay.
Unlike most other cephalopods, though, tree octopus are amphibious, spending their early life in the period in the mating season in their aquatic environment. Because of the moistness of the rainforest and their specialized skin adaptations, they are able to keep from becoming, dried out in prolonged periods of time, giving them the chance that they would prefer to be resting in pools of water. So they'll kind of go down in the pools of water and stuff like that. They still breed in the ocean.
Okay.
And they come out, but they still live in the trees and stuff like that.
So they climb the trees?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Reaching out with their 8 arms, each consecutively or sensitive suckers, these tree octopus might grab branches and pull themselves along in a form of locomotion called, now this is a hard word, tentaculation. It's a way of just, it's like how octopus and squids
right.
pull themselves on the land and stuff like that. It's a very unique form of locomotion just for them.
Grab and pull, pretty much.
Yeah, but these guys are a little better at it. They actually have specialized like fluid sacs in their arms that actually keep them kind of rigid.
Okay.
So a lot of octopus, like if you watch like blue-winged octopus and speckled octopus climb through like on land, those guys will go on land regularly to switch tide pools and stuff like that. They're pretty flat when they're doing that. Even giant Pacific octopus, when they end up on a boat, they can still crawl on land.
But they flatten flat. Out. Yeah. So
these guys have like vascular tubes to kind of help maintain a shape.
Okay.
Which some soft-bodied animals on land have it like velvet worms and stuff like that. An intelligent, inquisitive being is the largest brain-to-body ratio of any mollusk. The tree octopus explores its tree habitat both touch and sight. Adaptations in its ancestor originally evolved in three-dimensional environments at sea level, having good and spectral complex mazes of carnivorous Olympic forest. So it's just like tight, giant rainforest.
Okay.
Do you have any questions about these guys so far? There's tons and tons of information.
Not yet. I mean, they're small. They're tiny. They go on land. They climb in the trees. And they breathe in the water still. But why are they spending the time in the trees? Like, why there and not in their normal environment? Like, why the switch?
Escaping new predators and stuff like escaping old predators and stuff like that. I mean, it's the same reason why they think like fish and animals left the ocean.
Okay.
Is to get away from predators. Route 101, you can actually go down Route 101 on the coast and see octopus exiting signs like we have for deer. I'm not joking. They have them.
What? Okay. So
they're crossing the road and stuff like that.
That is pretty awesome. I never would have imagined that would have been a real thing at all.
It's right there. Yeah. It's Route 101 and Olympic Peninsula Highway.
Just so you guys know, he showed me the road sign, a picture of it. And like, I had a debate in my own head for a quick second. Is that real or is this a joke you're making here?
So the reproductive cycle of these tree octopus is still linked to the roots to the water. Like most like amphibious animals.
Right.
Think of salamanders and that kind of stuff. Puget Sound, which if anybody's listened to Crypts of Corn for a long time, when we did our giant octopus of Puget Sound.
Yes.
Puget Sound is the like has the biggest octopus in the world.
I think that was the episode we may have mentioned these in, maybe. I don't know.
It could have been because it's the same area.
Yeah.
But Puget Sound, it's probably one of my more favorite episodes because like the giant octopus like literally pulling on the cables and playing around and stuff like that. Literally some of the biggest octopus in the world. But they go down there. Every year in spring, tree octopus leave their homes in the Olympic National Rainforest and migrate towards the shores. Eventually, they're spawning grounds in the Hood Canal. There, they congregate. They're the only real social time they have in their life, like most cephalopods. They find a mate, and after the male uses a deposit, his arm to deposit sperm, he returns to the forest, leaving the female to find an aquatic lair in which she attaches her strands of egg clusters. The female will guard and care for the eggs until they hatch, refusing to eat and usually dying from the selfless act.
Wow.
The young will spend their first month floating around the Hood Canal in the inlet and as far as north as Puget Sound before eventually moving from the water and beginning their adult lives in the forest. Questions so far?
Yeah.
I have why they're endangered too, if you want.
Okay. I don't have a question, but I did just last night as we're recording this, I watched this. There's this documentary. I forget what service it's on, you know, which streaming service, whatever, but it's like The Life of Octopus or whatever. Mm-hmm. You seen that on there yet?
Yeah, no, it's a really good one.
I just watched the one where you said they stick out the one arm.
Yeah, how they reproduce. It's the shortest arm.
It looks like it's like he just giving her a back, like sticks his arm up, give her well, a back rub.
He actually puts it in her mantle.
That's where, it looks like it's like he's reaching right behind her shoulder. You know, like you reach behind someone's shoulders or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was like weird, like the little deposit comes down the arm and. But she ejected the last octopus that mated with her.
Mm-hmm.
She like ejected it all out. It's like this weird looking tube thing. And then so the other one should come up. She could reproduce with that one instead. Interesting animals, these octopus.
All cephalopods are interesting. That's why some biologists think they're aliens.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's just, they do make some evolutionary sense and then they don't. Like, there's a lot of hyper-specialized things. They're weird.
It's that niche, you know?
So, why are they endangered? Although the tree octopus is not officially listed on the endangered species list, this website feels that it should be for a number of critical low population reasons. The reasons include the dire situation, includes decimation of habitat, which is happening all over the Oregon, Washington coast from all kinds of animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the decimation of deciduous forest, of these pine forest being cut down for paper and stuff like that.
Coniferous?
Coniferous, yes.
Okay.
So I cannot talk today.
I think you mixed coniferous and deciduous.
Yes.
Which is pretty impressive.
Another one is building of roads, which cut off access to the water they need for spawning, which is a big thing for amphibians as well.
Mm.
Roads are the number one killer for most salamanders.
Yeah.
Not only for they're hard for them to cross, like to reproduce, they also gather salt and other nasty chemicals for these animals. So these like salamanders, I'm using them as an example because they're another really close thing. You know, they partially breathe through their skin. They have moist skin layers.
Yeah.
So they'll pull in all those nasty chemicals from the road trying to cross it.
Ugh.
And so salamanders and the Pacific tree octopus both struggle with those, you know, those things. The building of these roads cut off access. Predation by foreign species such as house cats is another really big problem.
Oh, no.
I'm not even joking. I didn't – this from their website.
Yeah, and it's funny, though. We're literally just talking about house cats before this.
Keep your cats inside your house.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/ Corn Crew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do not let your cats run around outside.
We're going to get more hate mail.
I do not care. If it's just because I said don't let your cats run around outside because they kill everything,
yeah,
I don't care. That's
I can't
fine.
Believe someone thought I fed my cats to my dog.
Yeah, it's...
What monster am I?
Yeah. And booming populations of natural predators such as bald eagles, and they feel that Sasquatch, they actually mentioned that in here, are actually eating these guys a lot too. Which that Oregon coastline, I mean, there's tons. I mean, you listen to stuff like Wes Garmer's show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's tons of the Oregon coast having Sasquatch. So these little octopus being able to just be picked up and grabbed,
mm-hmm.
especially in these big roads that don't have a lot of traffic. If you were a Sasquatch, you could just sit there and watch them come over and just walk over and grab them.
Yeah, it's easy pickings.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've even watched Sasquatch and the Missing Man from Merkle Media.
Yeah.
Featuring the great and powerful biologist, Mr. E.
Yes. The possibility of Pacific Northwest tree octopus extinction is not an unwarranted fear. Other tree octopus species, including the Douglas octopus and the red-ringed mandarin octopus, have gone extinct.
Ooh. Red-ringed mandarin?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool.
The history of tree octopus trade is a very sad one. There's a various appetite for bird plumes have exhausted all other worthy species of the family. A fashion moved on to cephalopods. Aristocrats in the early 20th century. So literally in the early 20th century, from the movement from the 19th to the 20th, there were species of birds that were wiped out just for the fashion industry.
Ooh, okay.
Tons of species of birds that were wiped out for the fashion industry.
Birds for fashion? What, for their feathers?
For their feathers.
Wow. So
these guys were, their little, like, their skin, they would turn into, like, all kinds of fashion designs, I guess.
Like clutches and wallets and whatnot?
This one's showing, like, literally, like, a hat band that was being used.
What?
But...
Let me see that picture. Okay.
It's a drawing from 1910.
All right. All right.
1923, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm drawing some conclusions from this whole thing now.
But, yeah. Another one is that they believe that there was, like, we talked about fire salamanders, that there was a satanic angle associated with them.
Okay.
There was tons of people that went out of their way at the end of the 1940s. It's saying octopus are the devils of the trees. They thought that there was satanic angles because there was aquatic animals living in the trees.
It is. As above, so below. Octopus. Devil of the trees. Terror of the... What's that say? Loggers?
Yeah.
Terror of the loggers.
And forest rangers.
And forest rangers, yeah.
There is all these stories of, like, them being... There's extremely venomous, like, blue-ring octopus. And there's, like, them killing people.
Yeah.
But it's like the newts that live out there, too.
Right.
Venomous or poisonous for the newts, but not if you don't mess with them.
Right. Leave them alone. They're fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I got some sightings for you.
Oh, let's hear the sightings. I can't wait.
Or do you want frequently asked questions first?
Sure. Let's run down the FAQs, and then maybe that'll help us decipher some of these sightings.
Okay. I don't like your tone.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You're kind of yelling at me. The Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus, or the Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus. Which way is it?
Wait, you said the same thing twice.
No, that's my reading.
Oh, okay.
Octopi or octopus.
Oh, okay.
It would be octopus because it's one species.
Is octopi a thing? Like, is
both
that really?
Octopuses and octopi are considered acceptable plural forms of octopus. Or octopi has become acceptable only because it's prevalent usage.
Yeah.
It's technically incorrect.
Like the word forte.
Octopodes are the technical correct term.
Okay. Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
What about cacti? Same thing?
I'm not sure about cacti. I'm on an octopus website.
Did you not, the word forte, you ever heard that? You know, that's my mm-hmm. forte. It's mm-hmm. That's initially was incorrect, but since so many people used it, it became correct nomenclature. The original pronunciation is just fort.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of that stuff.
But now forte is acceptable.
One of the big questions are, aren't rainforests only found in the tropics?
Oh, okay.
Which is no, you know.
Right, no, not
tons,
at all.
Tons of rain. There's temperate rainforest is the difference.
Right.
There's tropical rainforest and temperate rainforest. Rainforests are like deserts, you know, they're defined by amount of precipitation they get.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously tree cover. You know, the Antarctica is technically a desert.
Right. Because
it gets little precipitation, even though technically it's full of water.
Yeah.
You just can't drink it.
Right. You can gnaw on it.
Yeah. Can you actually have a pet tree octopus? No. They are, even though they're not on the endangered species list, they are protected by the state of Oregon. They can scramble and scurry easily away. They are venomous. And anybody that's kept octopus, I don't know if you watch any of the people that keep octopus. We've talked about like Hank the octopus that always got out of his enclosure and would walk around that was actually, I think, in California. And he was a giant Pacific octopus.
Was he the one taking photos of the family?
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
That was a mimicry octopus, I believe.
Okay.
Octopus are incredibly intelligent, very, very hard to keep in captivity.
Yeah.
They're not a casual pet. They're hyper intelligent animals and they can get out.
Did you ever see that documentary, My Octopus Teacher?
Yes. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. Good recommendation for you
out there.
Some
sightings. Not a lot of these are pretty old, but let's see, which one do we want to do first? It's a really cool website. Everybody should check it out.
What is it again?
The Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus Lake.com.
Okay.
This is 2021-9/11. Today, Walnut Creek, California. Thanks for your work for these beautiful creatures. I was gazing out my door into the country yard of my apartment complex, and I sighted one of these beautiful creatures scrambling to get my camera. I was only able to get these two shots of it. The critter leaped from its trees and its branch and disappeared into the background. Yeah, you can kind of see it. It's that blob that was kind of falling.
Oh, okay.
In which there are prehensile tail salamanders out there. I can do the same thing.
I thought you were about to say prehensile tail octopus out
no.
there.
And that's they're famous for just falling out of these giant trees.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the term of velocity for them is not fatal.
Gotcha. So they'll just drop.
They'll just drop.
Doesn't matter. It's like,
and they'll be like, and that's what these guys will do too, is they'll just kind of like drop. There's a lot of frogs out there that'll do that too.
Okay.
Because it's just easier than trying to escape a predator up there.
Yeah.
Just be like, I'm going to fall 300 feet.
Yep.
I'm going to be fine when I get down because they don't weigh nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like throwing ants off the Empire State Building.
Or throwing a cat off one.
What? Yeah. You and cats.
I don't know. I just had to do that.
21/6/16.
Okay.
This is some. They sell plushies for them, and that's kind of a fun thing. They go out
and hang them in the trees.
Yeah, and you can actually one of these trails, like they do a sound, or they do the octopus walk.
Yeah.
Once a year.
That's pretty funny.
Why are you laughing?
It's just funny. Like, you know, you got your salamander hikes and your frog hikes. Now you got an octopus one. They should build vernal pools for these guys.
They have to breed in salt water, otherwise they wouldn't. A rare sighting of a tree octopus, predation by a red-tailed hawk.
What is it? It's being hunted by a red-tailed
hawk? Yeah, so that's actually, you see the octopus in the claws of the hawk, and it's eating it.
Oh, okay. Nice. Snatch them right out of that nest. Now, So they breed in the water, but now do they have, like, little shelters or home that they, like,
so a lot of times it's, like, tree, like, knots and trees and stuff like that.
They hide in or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I just need to build like a tree, like a bird nest, but an octopus nest.
That'd be interesting.
Wouldn't it? Have they found any of those yet?
Here's one. I don't think so. Here's one of somebody claiming that is an octopus in the snow they have out there.
Now that, come on.
It's octopus. Mimicking?
What's it mimicking? Death?
The snow. That's why it's the color of the snow.
Is it mimicking a dead frozen body?
Yeah.
It blends right in.
Now, why do you keep laughing?
Okay.
There's a cousin, the tree-ringed octopus, was seen.
Ooh, that's a neat one. That's definitely not a spider, though, right?
I don't think it's a spider. It looks like an octopus to me.
Oh, okay. Are you really asking why you want me to say why I'm laughing or no?
Yeah.
Okay, because, okay, all right, let's rewind the tape a little here.
Okay.
Let's go back.
Tons of sightings. There's hundreds on this website.
I don't want to ruin anything for...
I don't get why it's funny.
Okay, well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Get it?
Tree. Well, before you do, don't go on a limb. You can actually go to their website, and there's activities and stuff you can buy to help the blue ring, or not the blue ring, the tree octopus.
Huh?
You can actually trick or treat for tree ring octopus, where they go out there and you can actually feed them on their trails during certain times of the year, and they actually give you candied corn and shrimp.
That is hilarious.
It's a box. I'm not joking. It's, you can buy it right now.
Yeah, that is
a box of candy corn and shrimp.
Disgusting.
They also build octopus houses.
Ah.
There you go.
There's my... It's like a bat house.
Yeah, it's very similar, actually, to a bat house.
Yeah.
But they do this, and they go out to the preserves and stuff and attach these houses and help for the tree octopus. There's also expeditions twice a year to help count numbers and species and stuff like that.
Nice. So, yeah. I think we should... We should build some of those for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. October 5th, Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. We should build some of those and sell them some... the tree... Okay, how do you say their name again?
Oh. It's the Pacific Northwest West. Tree Octopus.
Tree Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
We should build some Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus houses for people, you know, souvenirs to... Maybe they can attract one in.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe we can move their habitat zone, you know, more inland.
No, I mean, they need to get to the ocean.
Well, there's river systems and stuff. We might be able to, you know... what's that? Evolution adaptation? What's that called? What do we call that? Adaptive evolution or whatever?
Yeah. Adaptive or evolutionary radiation.
Yeah, that radiation. We'll radiate them to the Midwest, to freshwater.
If you want to donate and stuff, they suggest the World Conservation Union is a big one. The Wildlife Fund, the World Conservation Monitoring Center, and the Green Press Initiative.
Wow.
Are the four organizations they suggest to help kind of look into these guys. Other cephalopod websites is the cephalopod page, Octopus News Magazine Online.
Nice.
Which these guys have been featured in several times. And then the Gibbous Cephalopodus is a website, which is the gibbon octopus.
Okay.
And that is, I think, New Guinea. It's where they live in the trees there.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. Now you want me to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Say why I'm laughing. Because when you first started this, you know, we're getting into it, part of me is like, I couldn't decide whether you're talking about if this thing's just a cryptid or a real documented thing that, you know, I'm shocked this wasn't a featured on an episode of Freaky Fauna Friday. But once you showed me the drawing of the hat, then I was like, okay, I see what's going on here. It all clicked with me. It was the hat. The hat was the giveaway.
What?
This thing's very, very real. You should donate and support this thing because it's very real. It's a very legitimate thing existing out there. No, okay.
You're not saying anything.
This is Clone 37. I got to tell the truth. So Clone 37's program to tell the truth. This thing ain't real. This is a fun joke. This is a fun prank.
How that's the picture that gave it away?
The hat is the one that, okay, the hat's what pushed me over the edge. Everything else is like, okay, maybe these are just like old lumber lore, folklore stories. I'm like, wait, but once you showed me that, it's literally a little octopus sitting on a woman's head. It's hilarious.
So this was an interesting thing. This is a hoax, quote unquote, designed by Lyle Zapato. The Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus is an internet hoax created in 1998.
Nice.
The early days of the internet. This fictitious endangered species of cephalopod was reported to live on both land and in the water, and was said to live in the Olympic National Rainforest near rivers, spawned in the water, and its eggs were laid. The majority of its predators were Sasquatch. The Pacific Northwest Tree Octopus website is among the number of sites commonly used in the internet literacy class in school, although it is not created for that purpose.
Huh.
So this website is still visited by hundreds of thousands of people a year.
Wow.
And it looks like it's from the 1998.
Yeah.
It's gotten a couple of face polishes, but this is used to teach. Library of Congress actually mentions this website a lot.
What's it used to teach?
Internet literacy. so you can decipher real and fictitious information.
Okay.
To kind of help teach our, maybe some of our older generation, that not everything on the internet's real.
Right, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, no, it was, the funny thing is there's some funny things that have happened with this.
As a result of this website? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There was, I'll read you some things. Because it got to like some lawmakers and stuff like that. It was really funny. Let me get to where I was.
Like it got to them like without them realizing it was a hoax?
100%. Hmm. 2007, the U.S. study found that slightly more than half of 27 of 53 school children taking part in the study reported the website was very reliable. So they were using this for kids and stuff like that to see if they could decipher fictitious information and stuff like that. Over half of them found that it was, they thought the website was real. It's really well written. It looks like, you know,
yeah,
it's once until you get to some of the pictures and the sightings, I skipped over a lot of them where they were like a rubber octopus in a tree or a stuffed octopus in a tree. But yeah, so they kind of use it for that. It did get to, I'm trying to find where that, where I lost it. Anyways, it did get to some lawmakers for a while with the, proposed, like it got mixed in with some proposed endangered species and on the, for the West Coast. And it almost got put into law that it was an endangered species.
That would have been freaking great.
And this was one I always talked about when I was a biologist to show that lawmakers that make the rules on this stuff
don't know
nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They know nothing about any of this.
That would have been, if that, someone snuck that in, like shoehorned in, now they can do it. They do that with, you know, other like big bills and law, you know, stuff they're passing where they sneak in all these different.
Lyle didn't do that. Like, the guy that made the website didn't do this. He did this for fun.
Oh, no, absolutely.
He did not try to trick the government. He did not, like, some group found it.
And they did it.
And they were like, oh no, these guys are getting ready to go out the door.
It's just funny though, that how that stuff can almost sneak through. And but at the same time, they actually are, they do legitimately sneak other things through, you know, to pass along, you know, like we got to spend all this money to do to fix this big problem. But in order to do it, you also have to approve this thing where we spend a bunch of money, send it overseas, you know, for other this other area. So, you know, if you don't want to help kids here, or if you want to help kids here, you better send money over there too. I don't know. But then that, like, ideas like this. Fake tree octopus, you almost slip into a law, like, to give it protection. And they don't even see it. Well, obviously somebody did, but, man, I wish that would have made through. That would have been great. That should be a goal
just
of ours.
Get a fake species through.
Protection. Just get it protection, yeah.
No, I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean,
I was trying to read more, but I was trying not to laugh.
It
was getting worse the more you read.
I know. That's it kept, like, devolving. That's why, at first, I came in with an open mind, like, okay. Old folklore story. Didn't think it was something that was around.
Because I stopped with the about page.
Yeah.
Like most of the way through.
Frequently asked questions.
Like, because, just because when it started getting that there was massacres of them in the 1950s.
Yeah.
I was like starting to laugh and laugh myself. No, it's one I knew about for a long time. This was like, I found this in like the sixth grade.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a funny one though. It's a funny.
But the funny thing is, there's a lot of evidence, like speculative biologists for the future. Think that cephalopods will come back onto the land.
Yeah.
And because there's already a bunch of cephalopods that are living extremely long periods of time on land.
Okay.
Able to hold water in their mantle or breathe through their skin a little bit, stuff like that. But no, the Pacific Northwest tree octopus is not real.
Bum, bum, bum.
But do I believe an octopus could be living on land somewhere in this world? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if any aquatic animal from the ocean is going to do it, it'll be a cephalopod.
They'd have to break that barrier. They could do it.
There probably are. The ones in Papua New Guinea are probably real.
Have you seen that video that just recently I just saw? There was this woman sitting like on the beach or, you know, with her legs in the water. Not like on the sandy beach, but just like, you know, the rocky beaches, whatever. But this big, I think it was a Pacific octopus came up. Like big, you know, the big dark, what are they, purple like looking?
They're red normally.
Red, yeah. That dark red, but it came up right up to her legs and like wrapped its tentacles and stuff around her legs and was like just feeling her shoes and she just like filmed it and it was feeling like, but it was big and then it just slowly like let go and just drifted right back out into the water. But it came all the way up and wrapped itself around her. Like I would have been a little freaked out, you know, like this thing could pull me in the water and kill you.
Yeah, they did the best thing and not freak out.
Yeah, they were just filming it, but it was really, really, really neat. Like, that would be an awesome experience. Once in a lifetime. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, cephalopods are very intelligent and stuff like that. A lot, like, they have killed a couple divers on accident.
Pulling their masks off.
Yeah. And then the divers, they've killed a few people. We talked about it in the Puget Sound. And it's because they are stabbing them.
Yeah.
People go down there and stab this octopus. And then the octopus is like, all right, well, we're going to die down here together.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, let's do it. They're in tons of books.
This one is?
Both fiction and nonfiction.
That's funny.
They have a whole literature page and speaking events and stuff like that. The last one I think was 2018. But no, this is one of the fun ones.
Yeah, it was the hat. It was the hat drawing that. It's just.
Yeah, I didn't even. Like, I had a whole thing for the coconut grab.
What's the coconut grab?
Not crab, grab.
Yeah, what's the coconut grab?
It's a book with a similar lineage, modern day life of non-avian dinosaurs did not go extinct, and also includes a coconut grab, which is an ammonite that lives on land and climbs up trees.
Ah, nice.
I think it's like a coconut crab, essentially.
Gotcha.
It just made me laugh. But people say the ammonite, like the coconut grab's real and stuff like that. I don't know. I think it's possible. I don't think this obviously isn't real.
No.
It's been on cartoons and stuff like that. The Japanese had a lot of fun with this. No joke. Like, it was in a lot of Japanese media. I don't know if somebody like took it seriously.
Just found it really funny. I don't know.
I got a Japanese kid show centered around bizarre creatures of the world. Kurakakara had one of these animals.
I think you need to wash your mouth out after that.
It didn't sound good. But had Pacific tree octopus in the show, showing them as real life animals in the Pacific Northwest.
That's pretty funny.
I thought you'd get a kick out of this one. No, and it's like, I guess I did this episode to show you that, like, there's tons. Like, this website looks great. Like, there's tons of information. All the stuff you want is there. Everybody's in on the joke. So, would you call this a hoax?
Or are you going?
Or, like, is this just done in fun? Like, is this one, like, one of those things, like,
this is art.
Yeah, is it that? Like, you know, I don't think this would be called a hoax, because I don't think it was originally done with any nefarious...
Yeah, I don't think the intentions were to trick people.
It did happen, though. You know, it did, I guess, become a hoax. But the guy that made it, I don't think, had nefarious intentions.
So I guess it would be a hoax, but not for, like, to hoax people, like, and, I don't know, I guess to monetarily, like, trick... I don't deceive people.
He was having fun in the early days of the internet.
Exactly, yeah. That's why it's more of an art thing to me. It's a hoax, but it's more of an art project. It's a social project. I don't know, like, it's experiment.
I just thought this was fun. Like, they have they have jungle walruses too and stuff like that over there. There's a lot of fun stuff.
I mean, if you could be creative and convince people that there's an animal out there that exists that it seems a little odd. I mean,
you open the Lumberland folklore.
It's this.
This is a lot better than.
Yeah.
This isn't.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
The Snallygoster that eats shadows and
has a propeller tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one, though. That is a good one.
Yeah. All right. I've been the great and powerful mystery.
I've been J Clone 37.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.